This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stasio. Even though most Americans approve of paid family leave programs, only 12% of North Carolina workers benefit from one. The Federal Family Leave and Family and Medical Leave Act offers some assurance. Workers who need help, if they need to help a sick relative or bring home a new baby, they can take 12 weeks off with a guarantee that they'll have a job when they come back, but they don't receive any pay during that time. A statewide insurance program could create another option. For a small premium paid by all workers, it would offer paid leave for a range of reasons. Anna Gassman-Pines is the WLF Bass Connections Associate Professor of Public Policy at the Sanford School of Public Policy at Duke University. She's looked into the cost and benefits of a paid family leave insurance plan, and she joins us now to talk more about her findings. Anna, welcome.
Thank you so much.
So talk about the state of paid leave now, or when it comes to any kind of leave without pay in the state of North Carolina.
Sure. So what North Carolinians have right now is primarily the Federal Family Medical Leave Act. And as you described, that family medical leave policy is one that applies to all workers who have worked for the same company for a particular amount of time, generally around a year. And it allows for workers to take unpaid leave for up to 12 weeks, either to care for their own serious medical problem or to care for a family member or welcome a new child. So what that does is for workers who have worked for a significant amount of time for a particular employer, they know that they can have that job back when they come back from leave. And that's a really important protection for a lot of workers. Unfortunately, that doesn't cover most North Carolinian workers. For a couple reasons, one being that small businesses are exempt, which is really important for small businesses because often holding a spot open while someone's on leave creates a real burden. But the second is that you have to have been working for at least a year for that particular employer. And then finally, some people can't afford to take an unpaid leave. So that's our federal program. Besides that, many North Carolinians work for individual firms, employers who choose to provide paid family and medical leave to their employees as an additional benefit, but many North Carolinians don't work for such employers.
Right. And even under the federal program, if you were making a living by working at two places, you were working at a couple of fast food places, and you weren't working full time at either one, then you don't even qualify for the federal program, right?
That's correct. Because you have to work not only for a particular amount of time, but for a particular number of hours for that employer.
All right. So talk about how this insurance program might work.
So how this insurance program might work would be for all North Carolinian workers to pay an insurance premium into a fund. And then if they had a qualified life event, such as being diagnosed with cancer or needing to care for an ill relative or having a new baby, they would be able to take leave from work and receive a payment out of that fund, a partial replacement of their wages. So people wouldn't get their full paycheck, but they would get some amount of wages during the time that they were on leave.
So what kind of a premium would we be talking about here?
So the premium cost depends on exactly what the program looks like. A more generous program that's able to cover more wages would cost a little bit more. A less generous program that would cover lower amounts of the wages would cost a little bit less. But for a program that bipartisan kind of working groups have generally agreed is a reasonable program, it would cost around $3 or $4 a week.
So that's just about the amount that you donate to public radio.
That's right.
To turn a comparison on its head. And obviously, this is in place some places. This is not just an idea, you know, sort of out of the blue. There are states that are doing this, right?
That's absolutely right. So California has had the longest running statewide paid family and medical leave program. It's been in place since 2004. But additionally, there are five other states plus Washington, D.C. that now have passed and are either in the process of implementing such a program or have a program running right now.
Right. And I would think this would have to be compulsory, right? In order for this to work, everybody's got to kick in or you really don't have a program.
That's right. So the way that that these insurance programs work best is when everyone pays into the system. And what that means is then everyone is eligible to have those benefits if they need them.
Yeah, and obviously this works for insurance all over the world. Anybody with a single-payer program understands this. The bigger the pool, the smaller the risk, the lower the cost.
That's exactly right.
So that's something that's taken us a long time to figure out here in the United States. We're working on it, but this would be a principle that would apply here. In the case of California, does the state of California kick anything in, or does everything come from just from these premiums and whatever gets invested?
The state of California does not kick in. The full cost of the program is through premiums that are paid. I believe in California, it's through a combination of premiums paid by employees and employers.
All right. And so it would seem to me that one of the objections would be, here's big government all over again. You're going to compel me to become part of a program and spend my money. Government telling me what to do with my cash. And it's got to be administered. How costly is it to administer this program, and how difficult is it? How much of a burden is it on the state of California? Do we know?
That's a great question. So it's a little bit hard to figure out exactly how costly it is, but I think it's important to keep in mind that we have similar systems already in place in North Carolina. The closest parallel here is the unemployment insurance system. So all North Carolina workers pay into an unemployment insurance pool. And if they're laid off and they qualify, they can receive payments during the time that they're laid off. So we already have state employees who know how to process claims, who know how to, handle paperwork and deal with people who are filing for this kind of program. And so one idea would be to build on that infrastructure to add in this additional kind of insurance.
Apart from the obvious benefit to families to have this extra time, and we'll talk more about that, what kind of benefits, what that really means. But are there broader benefits to the state itself in terms of cost savings if we did a cost-benefit analysis?
Sure. So there are several kinds of cost savings that a paid family leave insurance program would generate. First of all, there's good evidence that when there's paid family and medical leave insurance available, it reduces people's reliance on other kinds of government assistance, in particular the program that we used to call food stamps and the cash assistance program, TANF. So it reduces the use of government assistance because oftentimes when people take a leave and lose those wages, they may become eligible for government assistance. So one is there's good evidence that it would reduce the cost of government assistance. The other is that there's also good evidence that paid family and medical leave reduces nursing home usage. Now, it's a little bit complicated who is actually going to save if nursing home usage goes down. But one thing that tends to happen is as people stay in nursing homes, they spend down their own savings. And ultimately, the cost of that nursing home care is covered by the state, by Medicaid. Ultimately, people qualify for Medicaid and have their nursing home care covered by Medicaid. So again, if we can reduce nursing home usage, that will certainly save the money, and much of that might be saved by the state itself.
We're talking about an idea for a family leave insurance program today on The State of Things. Anna Gaspin-Pines is my guest, professor of public policy at Duke University's Sanford School. What about for individuals? And again, these are some of the hidden costs. What it costs an individual not to be able to take time off in a critical moment or to have to take time off without pay. Have we calculated the cost to families?
So the cost to families is quite high when people don't have access to paid leave. And that is experienced in a whole number of different ways. It's very, very stressful, especially for new parents. So for parents who are getting ready to welcome a child, to be worrying about how much time are they going to be able to take? Are they going to be able to afford to pay their bills while they're taking time off from work, both for mom to recover and for the parents to bond with that new child? And so there are real costs to maternal health of not having access to paid leave. That's both physical and mental health. And in particular, when women don't have access to paid leave, they tend to go back to work much more quickly, often before they're fully physically healed. And that has real costs for women's physical health.
What about, you talked about the state, California has this now, other states are considering it. How many other states where it's under consideration?
So there are programs operating in California, New Jersey, Rhode Island, and New York. And policies have been passed and are being implemented in Washington State, Washington, D.C., and Massachusetts.
The ones that where it has passed, does it have bipartisan support?
Ultimately, it does have bipartisan support. The case that I know best is the case of Washington State, where bipartisan legislators came together with the business community and actually sat down at the table together and compromised and said, what are we going to collectively decide that this program is going to look like?
What's happening here in North Carolina?
Well, Representative Meyer has introduced a paid family and medical leave bill. It was introduced a couple weeks ago. There are several co-sponsors of that bill. And so there's a conversation happening. And I think that's a really important first step for North Carolinians to think about whether this is a program that might make sense for us.
Anna Gassman-Pines, the WLF Bass Connections Associate Professor of Public Policy at the Sanford School of Public Policy at Duke University. You can find links to her research at our website, stateofthings.org. Anna, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
Coming up on the State of Things, a teacher's protest tomorrow. How does organizing work for teachers who are prohibited from forming unions? We'll talk about organizing our teachers today on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Please stay with us.